Much in science fiction over the decades has revolved around the central theme of an alien invasion. We often think of this as something very blatantly obvious. It's flat out unambiguous. The aliens attack in full force and blow up government buildings, as in the movie Independence Day. Or the War of the Worlds, where the Martians come in force and try to take Earth over by leveling Earth's cities, only to be defeated by the microbes. It makes for a good story, and conventional wisdom has said that if we were in such a compromised position with the presence of a nearby alien civilization, say the alien interpretation of the UAP phenomenon is correct, then they must not be hostile, or they'd have already acted and taken over long before we ever achieved modern technology. But that interpretation actually involves some assumptions, some rather big ones. First and foremost is that aliens think and act like we do. But we don't know that they do. But in the case of a sneak attack as we understand them, a full-on assault might actually not be how aliens would actually do it, were they to do it at all. Taking Earth over may be frivolous. The sci-fi tropes are invariably based on human expansionism, as though the planets in and of themselves are valuable territory, which itself is based on a lack of real estate, being confined to a single world, much of which is covered in water. But that kind of thinking is localized to Earth. If you are truly a galaxy-wide empire, then the galaxy appears to be your oyster, with as many uninhabited planets as you could possibly want for their resources. And to date, not one planet, other than Earth for obvious reasons, in the solar system appears to have ever been mined for resources. Everything else appears pristine and untouched. So unless there is some mined-out asteroid floating around that somebody passing through in the distant past depleted, the planets of this solar system appear untouched, as do the 4,000-plus exoplanets we've seen. None of them give any hint of ever having been touched or altered by aliens, though in fairness, we are just now barely capable of detecting that if it happened. Thus, we really haven't even begun to look for that. As a result, aliens may not have this territorial issue, with a myriad of exoplanets pervading the galaxy, keeping them satiated for new land. But ultimately, there's just so much free real estate out there that there's simply enough for everyone, at least at this point in time. And there's reason to think that we may actually have appeared early in the game for the universe as far as alien civilizations go. We are functionally very near the beginning of the universe if you take the entire lifespan of stars in the universe that could spawn life, meaning that our mere 13.8 billion years that produced us, and probably others, but yet there remains trillions upon trillions of years the universe has left, and will produce many, many more. In short, mathematically speaking, we are very early in the game. But we probably aren't the earliest, unless there is something we don't know hidden within the Fermi paradox. Maybe one of the solutions is worse than it appears, and hiding in there somewhere is a brick wall that we won't know about until we do further science. The point is, however, we're still here, and we've been sitting here defenseless since life first arose on this world billions of years ago, and no exterminator or invader appears to have ever come here. Or if they had, for whatever reason, they weren't successful in stamping out life enough to show a truly unexplained extinction event in the fossil record. Yes, some extinction events are misty and not well understood, but not a single one of them warrants stepping any further than nature. They all look like asteroid impacts, climate catastrophes, volcanic activity, and so on. None look like an orbital bombardment with highly advanced alien weaponry melting the Earth's crust into a deadly molten state, as you might expect an alien empire suppressing the development of life in the universe might do. There just isn't any evidence found thus far in the history of Earth and the solar system that suggests anyone other than us was ever here. Granted, if some science mission, say Vulcans for fun, dropped by a billion years ago and did a survey, there may simply be no evidence of that left, and we'd never know it ever happened. But a long-term presence with mining and altering planetary atmospheres and so on, there simply is no evidence of it ever having happened here. In fairness, though, if that evidence is subtle, we have yet to do anything other than a superficial glance of the solar system at this stage. We have not even begun to search the surface of the moon, for example, for any bits and pieces of hardware that might have been left there a billion years ago. Granted, there are claims that we have seen this, but they all fall flat, as pareidolia, misinterpretation, and some outright fiction presented as reality, such as Earth ever having been mined for gold before humans, or using humans to mine it. If that were true, the aliens managed to miss the richest, most accessible gold fields on the planet, the low-hanging fruit of gold reserves in such places as Russia, Australia, and North America are fully consistent with Earth's geology and the abundance of that metal. And it's not even the low-hanging fruit. It's much easier to mine metals in zero gravity in the asteroids if you're already in space. And they do not seem to be depleted of anything, as far as we see. And that brings up a greater point. We often see aliens depicted in science fiction as having some kind of lust for materials. This has ranged from gold, which was only ever important to humans because it became a medium of exchange and we like how it looks, to water. The problem is that none of these are rare in the universe, and in a planetary system, the planets aren't the easiest sources for these materials. There is water everywhere in the outer solar system, completely frozen for easy taking. And if you want gold, you need the site of a former kilonova, not a planet. So there really isn't a material reason to invade a planet. Even the idea of slave labor, as often depicted in sci-fi, falls flat. Biological humans pale in comparison, as far as a source of labor, to advanced robotics. We already use robots extensively in manufacturing, and in the wiring of electronics, such as computer chips. A human can't even physically operate on the tiny scales of that. And it must be done by a specialized robot, ultimately programmed to do so by a human. But there are scenarios where an invasion might be delayed. Specifically, if the invader is waiting for the victim to do something very specific, and if they don't, they are left alone and simply monitored. This is based on the thinking that we only know what we know, and there may be other paradigms that are far outside our general thinking where an alien invasion could hide. Picture this. Going back to the medieval world, a technologist of today traveling back in time and messing about might not even be detected so long as they were well hidden. And if they were, what could the medieval mind have done in their paradigm to combat it? The short answer is they could have catapulted something at the technologist, but little else. But fundamentally, especially if interaction was avoided, they probably would not know the technologist was ever there. A theme explored in Star Trek with stories about what happens when the cover gets blown. But in a way it's misleading because the potential effect of someone with technology from the future, whether alien or a time-traveling human, would be profound if discovered, dangerously so. And that plays into this alien invasion scenario. Imagine someone from today, even a single person with our technology, going back in time if that were possible, could have completely dominated or messed up the world of a thousand years ago. Or for that matter, even World War II. See the movie The Final Countdown for a scenario there. And that period is still within living memory. Prop planes would not fare very well against the aircraft of today, but they would not be totally ineffective. A bullet is a bullet. Against an F-14, itself now effectively obsolete. That's something not too well trodden in sci-fi, a time travel invasion. And when it is, it's always bad, such as the world the Terminator franchise depicted. We can imagine that. But with more advanced aliens, an invasion may come in an unexpected form we did not anticipate, didn't think likely, or something far more subjective, which is always the best way to surprise an adversary. Human history shows this. Do something that is unexpected to achieve better chances of victory. After all, as it stands right now, we have no plans for, nor do we think it likely that an alien invasion could occur. Which means we're totally unprepared for it in any form, recognizable or not. Granted, misdirections in war aren't the only kind of tactics, just common ones. A full-on broad direct assault is not unheard of, but with aliens, it might not go exactly that way. In fact, we may never even see them. A highly advanced alien civilization drawing plans against Earth has a very serious advantage in setting up their plan. If it's happening right now, they're invisible. We haven't seen them. And if we have, we haven't convinced ourselves of it. We're still dealing with the Fermi paradox, so the hypothetical invasion fleet can simply take their time, plan, and prepare in the hidden silence of deep space, waiting for some catalyst event, without us ever knowing anything until it happens, because most of space, even nearby space, remains a mystery. That's even if we know that much, more on that in a bit. Invariably, in sci-fi, the idea of an alien invasion mimics the technology of the time in which it was written. H.G. Wells, for example, envisioned the alien invasion machines as giant tripods walking across the landscape, whereas in Independence Day, the spacecraft were motherships and fighter jet-type aircraft, not unlike aircraft carriers and fighter jets. But in our day and age, with space warfare and other things taking precedence, there has not yet been an updated take on the idea of a modern, human-envisioned alien invasion. So here are a few scenarios for any writers out there thinking of doing one. What the catalyst for beginning such an invasion is, let's leave that open for a bit. One way to really mess up Earth's day is a double-pronged attack. The first thing would be to disable the satellites, by making low Earth orbit outright dangerous to navigate. This is easily done with space debris, and the so-called Kessler syndrome, where if you get enough debris striking other objects in low Earth orbit, it cascades, and the debris spreads and the whole orbital area becomes unusable. So much for much of Earth's communication abilities at our level of technology. Kessler syndrome is already a known problem and can happen even without a war in low Earth orbit. We're not there yet, but space junk is accumulating, and there is a worry that it could be triggered accidentally, given all the space launches we do, and all the defunct spacecraft, and the sometimes not so wise military testing that goes on as far as destroying spy satellites. Ultimately though, the syndrome does not make space useless. It's not really a kill-all as far as a planet's access to space. You can still launch through the debris relatively safely, and higher orbits remain generally unaffected. You just can't maintain a satellite sitting in LEO long-term. The longer it's there, the better the chances of it getting taken out by debris, and itself eventually shattered to make the overall problem even worse. But what goes up eventually comes back down, so a Kessler syndrome is a problem of centuries, but not permanently so. And you do also have the option of netting up debris and cleaning LEO, but that's the human side of the issue. An alien civilization wishing to attack might find Kessler syndrome a useful tool in that it would not be hard to set it off on their part. We'd know nothing about it until it was underway, though we do track LEO pretty carefully, so we'd likely discover it very shortly after it was unleashed. This would hobble Earth's communications and ability to mobilize, and as long as you keep up the syndrome, easy enough to do with both technology and transported meteorites, you could keep it up indefinitely. Our attack in that case may come to those on Earth's surface in the form of a spectacular but constant intense meteor shower at the hands of our very patient invaders, thinking in terms of centuries. Even in daylight, this rain of metal would be visible for decades or centuries. And what makes it to the ground would be at least an annoyance, but there's also the risk of such an alien civilization simply sending an asteroid to do the dirty work of extinction. And all they'd ever need to do is patiently wait for the dust to clear and human extinction to play out, perhaps never knowing what hit us, other than it was an asteroid from somewhere. But step two is even more effective and might be set off concurrently with the Kessler syndrome. It's the usage of electromagnetic pulses, or EMPs. This is scary but all too real, in that we've done this before ourselves. In a nutshell, it's a debilitating burst of electromagnetic energy. This is not rare. EMPs are a broad phenomenon and can be natural or artificial. Indeed, lightning can be seen as a form of EMP. Even a falling natural meteorite might cause one, though this is debated. On the one hand, it's speculative that meteorites could do it, but not fully proven to happen. But on the other hand, there have been reports of it, old accounts of meteorite falls stalling car engines. But there are natural, unearthly EMPs that most definitely are possible. But an alien attack using that would probably be easily differentiated from anything natural. Another natural source can be from solar storms, the infamous Carrington event of 1859 being the first instance where human electronics were damaged by EMP. The accounts include sparking and activity from a wired communications array that was switched off at the time. A solar storm on that level definitely wreaks havoc on electrical grids and presents a problem to this very day. We could see power grids knocked down long term by these things, and indeed have in recent times with lesser storms. Because of that ability to disrupt electronics, EMP has been sought in weapons development to incapacitate an enemy's electronics. An unintended test of this was in Honolulu during the Starfish Prime nuclear test in 1962. The US performed a nuclear test at high altitude, and it was one of several. Long story short, the resultant EMP was much, much larger than predicted, burying the needles of the instruments used to study it, making readings hard to obtain. It inadvertently knocked out Honolulu's power grid, despite being very distant, and showed that the power of artificial EMP was extremely significant and worrying. A widespread EMP burst globally by an invading alien civilization would hobble this world. Our electrical infrastructure is not prepared for such a thing, especially if it occurred in tandem with a natural coronal mass ejection. With communications down from an ongoing Kessler syndrome and an EMP disrupting everything else, it's hard to imagine that we could mount much of a defense against the invasion. Of course, there are weapon systems hardened for these things, and to a degree, EMP is anticipated, but not entirely. In this, however, we would at least be aware something was happening, and we might even be able to conclude it was aliens after enough diplomatic communication between nation states. Though we might never agree, and the invasion triggers a global war between the humans, paving the way for the invaders that much better. But again, these are ways that we can envision how an invasion might happen, but we don't know everything there is to know about science, so you can envision that with a better knowledge of something like dark matter, which pervades the space around us. It might also be weaponized for invasion. Or the question of what weapons are possible when you fully harness dark energy, if that's even possible. Or how about mimicking nature so closely that the invaded world thinks it was subject to a natural disaster, such as a solar flare, stealthily concocted such, that looked completely natural that knocks everything out, that was actually caused by an alien civilization manipulating the natural processes of the sun. Would we ever know? We might then debate what exactly happened for centuries, never really knowing for sure that we saw a technosignature from an alien civilization lying in wait out there somewhere to finish the invasion at some point. But thankfully, while it's interesting stuff for a spooky summer night, a taste of the Halloween season to come, there is a bright spot. No such invasion has ever happened, and there may be a simple reason for it. As I said, there are no resources here that are not common everywhere in the universe. In fact, for a spacefaring civilization, Earth is terribly poor in resources. All planets this size are, because the heavy metals like iridium sink down deep into the planet, and the lighter materials are common everywhere. You don't need to go through the trouble of lifting materials like water or silicon off a planet. That's expensive due to gravity, when you have as much of it as you want in asteroids and minor planets in outer solar systems. Perhaps it's not Earth-like planets that get invaded or are desirable, but moons and minor planets. But I leave you with this. If there is indeed a catalyst, it may be our technology itself. Once we approach something dangerous to the entire galaxy at large, say artificial, generalized superintelligence, then that alone may be the reason for an attack. After all, would it make sense for an alien species to allow a lesser technological species like humans to achieve machine superintelligence that's smarter than both you, the alien civilization, and its human creators are? Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently acting like it's October and not extremely hot, humid July. I can't wait for the cool temperatures to return and fall in my area of the world to begin, and the changing leaves and, of course, spooky season. It'll be here before you know it, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.